welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac alongside Mr. Mitchell Spean, Beer Bomb and Spean, fifth Monday special event. Mitchell, how are you?
I'm still doing well. How about you?
I'm good. You said you're doing well. I said I'm good. Let's ask Kevin about this. Kevin's in studio, of course, from 106.7 FM, Kevin Gassman. Where did that phrase come from? I'm good.
Where'd it come from?
Do people say, I'm good? That's sort of good. Self-serving, self-centeredness. I'm good.
I don't know. That's a good question there, Dave.
No, that's live long and prosper. Mitch is doing the Vulcan. I do the Vulcan mind something. Remember that?
The mind meld, yeah.
Yeah, the mind meld. Yeah. I love Star Trek. Did you ever see that?
My dad was a huge Star Trek, and every Saturday it was on TV, and I just didn't get into it.
No?
I just didn't get into it, no. I mean, I watched it, but it wasn't for me.
Yeah, well, that's okay. They only lasted 3 years on TV, then made a big, big ton of money with, six movies, I think?
I think it was six movies.
So I was describing this auditorium extravaganza, as you put it.
Right, the elementary
middle
school, right?
Yeah.
Middle school?
And this girl, my daughter's friend, had such a horrible voice. She sang Santa Baby. Remember that one? But the way she did it, delivered it. We're talking about delivery. She pulled it off because she delivered it really nicely.
Okay.
Santa Baby.
She just couldn't sing it well, but she. I just have
presentation.
A
well, she was acting
singing.
Like she was. I mean,
yeah.
She,
okay, hang
she
on. Wasn't, yeah. I got a problem with this. First and foremost, how old is this child?
No, I'm not talking like that.
No, but I'm saying, in a sense, why was that song chosen for a child that young?
Hey, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
She was about middle school, 8th, what, 13,
toddlers
14?
And tiaras and stuff? Or
maybe 14 or something, 15. Yeah. But her delivery of it, and what I mean by that is it's the confidence level that she thought she was like Barbara Streisand. And she acted like that on stage, and people started to believe it.
Right.
They thought maybe she's maybe she's lip syncing or whatever you call it, or lip singing or
but she's selling it.
But she was selling it.
Right.
And it was her confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's part of delivery.
That's exactly it. I mean, you get up on stage and we're talking about this off the air, it was when you get up on stage, the audience, like we said, is looking at you, waiting in anticipation for what you're going to say, and you got to deliver your material like you know it, it like the back.
And you know it's good, right?
And you know it's good. Yeah. I can't wait for you to hear this joke. This could be this could be worth your time to be sitting here. I'm so glad you're here. And here it is. This is the way it's going to be. But delivering your material to a room of 200 to 300 people is a lot different than delivering it to one person in front of you.
No doubt about it.
But you have to deliver it like you're delivering to one person.
And I think that's why this young girl was the crowd loved her because it just looked like she knew she was the best, even though it really didn't sound like that. But it was just like she was right into it. And it was interesting. I thought it was an interesting psychological study in how confidence can actually create a perception of something better than maybe you're hearing.
Think about Louis Armstrong and his voice, how gravelly it is, and yet
a style.
Okay, whatever you want to call it, but if you start listening to him singing,
Jimi Hendrix, another example, greatest singer in the world, but he gets a pass.
How about Janis Joplin?
Janis Joplin, that's a style.
Yeah, that was.
I mean,
good.
That's more. She just had a gritty voice, and there's a difference, I think. But I think with Louis Armstrong and Jimi Hendrix, guys like that who play instruments, and it's a little different,
How about Pierce Brosnan and Mamma Mia?
I am glad to say I never saw that movie. I'm very glad to say.
He was actually pretty good.
Was he?
It.
Okay.
Not the best singer, but he delivered it with confidence.
Right.
There's another example, as well as Meryl Streep.
Yeah, but they get paid. That's like part of their.
It's not big money.
Yes. Yes, I mean, but that's like part of the role they got
to
do.
So when you go to Vegas, you're not going to see the hit Mamma Mia at live on stage.
No, I've never seen a play in Vegas.
No?
No, I never have.
How about Donny and Marie?
No.
That's one of your favorites, isn't it?
I like that show. When I was a kid, that was the best show.
No, they're really good. They're very talented.
Oh, they have a show in Vegas now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Flamingo.
Who's got time for a show?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Drinking, I'm gambling, I mean, jeez.
Oh!
I'm sleeping, I'm hungover. You know they have a bus in Vegas now. It's called the
party bus.
Well, it's not a party bus. It's Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a hangover bus.
No.
Hangover Heaven, that's what it's called.
No way.
It's a real tour bus, and it drives around, I think, for like $50 to $100. You can pay to get in there, and they give you like an IV drip if you're hungover. And like an hour later, you're back on your feet. You're ready to
really?
Go.
Uh-huh.
Ready for more drinks.
Right, ready for more drinks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how was that tour?
Yeah, I'm afraid of needles. I'm going to jump in a bus with some guy with needles.
That would
crazy
be bad,
is that,
especially
right?
in Vegas.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Now, what do you think? You know what I really don't like about Vegas?
Yeah.
You do?
Leaving?
No,
what?
Oh. I like the shows.
Yes.
The buffets are phenomenal, but Go the Wind, by the way, or Bellagio.
Yes.
Do you like King Crab Legs?
I can eat seafood all day.
Yeah, those are good. But, you know, you walk on the street.
Red Rock is good.
Who?
Red Rock.
Oh, is that good, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Is that a
actually.
Lobster?
Oh, just
a restaurant.
The restaurant.
It's a restaurant.
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard
for the local.
Actually,
though.
It's a casino.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
But, you know, what really is disgusting, I can't believe it, and I really have a pet peeve about this. In fact, I want to do something about it. You walk on the Strip. Well, let me ask you first. When's the last time you've been to Vegas?
That was last summer.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. What happens when you walk down the Strip, these people handing these disgusting cards?
Yes, they're...
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, they want you to hook up with a, you know, call this number and you'll get... You
yeah,
know, yes.
Well, yeah, yeah, we know that. beep, beep. Now, the thing is... is that how come that can't be cleaned up? This is my cause now. Vegas can be nice in and of itself with the shows, the people watching, the lights. Those are all cool.
Right.
I really don't drink or gamble much, but I love the environment. Now, why can't they clean that up? Because they give that to men or women.
Anybody.
And, yeah, it doesn't make sense. I think they can clean it up.
I agree. I think
who's a lobby group?
I mean, why? First of all the people walking down the street, how many people are really going to use that number and use the card that they give? I mean, really? Like,
well,
who's that stupid?
Three times.
You've used it three times.
No, I'm kidding.
You're like, no, not that guy in the corner. I don't like the girls he's got.
No, but
depends on the punch. How many punch cards you need to get?
But they must be, you know, must be somewhat successful for them, or else they wouldn't be out there.
Well, you know, I mean, I think they're looking at numbers, just the percentage.
Bad marketing.
Right. I mean, look, you hand out a 10,000 a night
cards. Yeah.
If one person buys into it, that probably most likely pays for the marketing for all those cards.
What do you think the commissions are on that?
I don't even know. I mean,
no, but I think it's really bad. Right, Tommy? You've seen that. I really think they should clean that up.
Yeah.
Vegas
I agree.
Off the
main strip, they should definitely clean that up. And
even on the main strip.
Well,
any strip.
Sure, on any strip. Right. Anywhere out there. it should be off limits. But I was really upsetting a lot of cab drivers when I was out in Vegas last year, because I like to take the cab across the street. You know, so they don't like that, you know.
Minimum fare.
You're right, exactly. So I came up with a new idea that now when I walk into a cab, I was like, I get in, I'm like, I just won $10 million. I'm going to drive to L.A. to pick up my buddy. But first, can we go across the street to my hotel?
That's a good one. That is funny. Yeah, the cab driver. I took a cab, let's see, I think it was last year, from the Flamingo to downtown somewhere. They had the Rat Pack. Remember the Rat Pack? This was the scariest ride, much more scarier than Disneyland. I thought this was an e-ticket plus.
Really?
And this cab driver was going in and out, weaving in and out. It's like he thought the
did he speak
was
English?
I don't know. He never talked, and I was wondering if he's really a cab driver. But it was scary. Have you ever taken a cab long distance rather than across the street?
Yeah, I have, and it's for me, for some reason, I think, I don't know which comedian had a bit on this, but when you get in the cab, I think it was maybe Jerry Seinfeld had a bit on it, when you get in the cab, you almost feel like you're not in there. You're kind of like, yeah, you can do anything you want. I'm okay because I'm in the back of the cab. I'm cool. No, nothing's going to happen to me, and usually nothing does. So I enjoy the ride. I
fell out
cab
three
rides.
Times. keep going.
No, I'm just saying, it's like you almost feel surreal when you're in a cab, that you're not in control. This guy knows what he's doing. Well, I let him weave in and out because he
bounced off many cars, though. It was just really weird. The seatbelt
actually hit cars?
Yeah.
Did he?
He hit a few cars. And I won't say what type of hand gestures he was getting. And I felt insecure. I thought, hey, they don't even know me, and what are the audience do? But no, I mean, it was really amazing. No, the seatbelts weren't working.
Right. Well, I don't care seatbelts. You don't need seatbelts in a cab.
The way this guy was driving. I mean, I'm not kidding. Mitch, ever been in a cab out there?
Of course.
Oh, how was it? How was your experience?
Other than the fact that I had to give the guy directions, which made me feel real comfortable.
Yeah, that
was because I was going to my parents at the time, and he got lost a couple times.
Which
doesn't make me thrilled, because then you're, and then he charged me for the extra time, even though he got lost.
Well, I
just what you need.
I got really nervous when the cab driver took out his blow up doll because you know that he wanted to get in that lane in the freeway. It was crazy.
High occupancy,
right? Yeah, because I wouldn't get in the front seat. So anyway, so that's my cab story. I'm sticking to it. So do not go in a cab in Vegas.
All right. I've walked this strip once before.
You did?
Yep. I walked from Caesar's Palace all the way to Old Town downtown.
How many cards did you collect?
Yeah, it was. I was drunk. I was out of money.
You were,
and I was like, I just wanted to just take a walk. I got get
by the
away
time
from
he was
casinos.
Finished, he was able to give out the tickets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is probably like 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, probably not the wisest thing to do.
So wait, you walked from where to where?
I walked from Caesar's to downtown Old Town Vegas.
You went to? You're kidding?
No,
that's dangerous.
It's
at some
a long
point.
Walk.
But not only that, you have to go through neighborhoods that may not be conducive to living.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's all in the strip. You know, I wasn't like veering off the strip. But yeah, you're right, though. There are parts of the strip between old and new that are really sketchy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long did it take you?
Gee, it was a while. It was a long time ago. I don't
Do
remember.
You hold the record?
He doesn't remember. He was drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow. But that's...
How do you know you got out of it, then? I'm just kidding. Okay, so anyway, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking with our in-studio guest, Kevin Gassman, 106.7 FM, every day,
every
5
day.
To 8. Oh, I can't wait to listen tonight.
Monday through I can't wait to listen either.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be great, and of course, Mitchell Spean in studio. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac alongside Mr. Mitchell Spean from Beerbaum and Spean, a great CPA. You're one of the best two CPAs I know.
And you're one of the two best CPAs I know.
Hey, there we go. See, we know.
My dad's a CPA.
No way. So the best out of three then. Kevin Gassman is in studio radio host for Driving with Gas 106.7 FM every yes. Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m.
Yes.
Listen to Kevin, and maybe you'll give a shout-out today.
We play – I definitely will. I'll play some Stray Cats for you.
Oh, I love the Stray Cats.
You do?
How do you know that?
Just a wild guess.
Now, how did I
pick
just
that? Want the whole thing. It's, you know, all we get is the beginning part of it.
Right,
we'd love
right.
to hear the whole music.
So we've been talking about Vegas, so maybe enough of Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Do we like Sedona?
I've never been to Sedona.
No? How long have you been
crazy.
Living out there?
I know. Believe me. I lived in New Mexico for 7 years. I never saw the Carlsbad Caverns.
New Mexico. Did you? Yeah. Where, was that in Albuquerque?
No. I lived in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Las Cruces?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Is that a
exactly.
It's a three exit town off the 10 is what
oh
it is.
Oh, my gosh. It's so there's 40... nothing to do. What did you do at night? Did you have any dates?
I'll tell you, man. I loved it because I was 20 years old when I left L.A. And when you go from L.A. into Las Cruces, New Mexico, it's like going from fifth gear to second gear. It's a
or
real
no
big,
gear.
Or no gear. It's a real big downshift. New Mexico, it's the land of mañana. You know, it's a real laid back. It's, you know, there's really not a lot of, you know, hustle and bustle city life. It's kick back. So
were
I loved it.
Anyone handing out cards on the street?
No, they weren't doing that though.
So did they have restaurants there if there's only three exits?
They have the most amazing food in the world.
Really?
Hooked on New Mexican food because we lived 30 minutes south of Hatch, and the Hatch green chilies are out of this world.
Oh.
And I'm addicted to them, and I've only found a few places here in Phoenix that serve Hatch.
Oh.
And Los Dos Molinos, a cheap plug. Sorry, I'm gonna throw out some freebies, but
that's okay.
It's the hottest chilies in town, I think, here in Phoenix.
Out here, where are they located?
I think there's one on Central and Baseline, and there's one in Mesa off of Alma School and like 8th Street, or like in between Southern and
Nice.
Broadway. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Oh, it's amazing.
So then how long were you there in New Mexico?
I was there for 7 years.
And then you moved here.
Yes, I graduated in 94, got a job in TV. I was a photojournalist for a CBS affiliate.
Oh.
So that means I went around the city of El Paso with my camera over my shoulder looking around, you know.
Yeah.
Covering stories. I had to go to Juarez, which is, you know, right across the border. And if you know Juarez, it's, you know, lately they found all these beheadings and mass graves.
How do you spell Juarez?
J-U-A-R-E-Z.
I thought it was W-A-R-E-Z.
No, I got there. I was working mornings 6 to 2, and I got there like at 5:30, and the person's like, you got to grab a camera and go across to Juarez. They're having a riot. You got to cover it.
You saw beheadings?
I'm like, what? No, they uncovered a lot of like these mass graves in Juarez.
Oh,
do you remember that? No, about like 7 or 8 years ago or something like that.
That doesn't sound good.
When you go to Juarez and you got a $30,000 camera on your,
yeah,
it's a little scary. You know, it's like
that is very scary.
Happen, right?
So then when did you get to Phoenix?
Well, after that, I quit TV.
You did.
I quit it. Yeah, I couldn't handle it anymore. I actually met the president at the time. Well, at the time he was the governor, Governor Bush.
Did you really?
Yes. Not my notch, my belt, but you know.
How was he?
He was cool, man. You know, he's a baseball owner, and we were talking baseball. So
really?
I just met him for real brief. We walked down the hall, and he was a nice guy.
When did you meet him?
That was in 95.
95. Mm-hmm. So 5 years. Yeah, it'd be 5 years
five
before
years.
He was president.
Yeah.
And he just started to be a governor, I think. Right?
Yeah, he was brand new governor, I think.
Yeah.
I think K. Bailey Hutchinson was the governor before him.
Yeah, that's right.
So I was a TV. And the thing that really bummed me about TV that I did not like was that need to get it now. We need to get it now. We need to cover it now. And you know, why weren't we there to cover it first? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just took a wrong turn
so
down the
street. So they still have that mentality of covering it first.
You know, it's disgusting. I can't.
That's amazing.
I hate TV. I hate TV news. It's awful.
Why
it's
is just, that? Do they really think it brings more ratings if you're the first on the?
Yeah, they think that.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't think it is true.
I think it's the talent and the rapport people have and the marketing.
People are going to listen to or watch whoever that they're used to watching.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Right.
No matter what.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. And in my opinion, it's we eat what we're served. So whatever's on TV, whatever's on the radio, people are going to listen to and watch no matter what.
Let's face it. I found out about Whitney Houston watching ESPN. You know,
yeah,
serious.
I found out about how to play poker on ESPN. Figure that
dangerous
one out.
Dangerous thing.
How is that a sport?
Yeah, right.
Not to switch a topic.
Yeah.
Is that
why not?
Really
it's
a sport?
Not a, it's not a sport, no.
I mean,
it's all over
the place. Yeah.
It's not a sport.
Wow.
But wrapping up the TV I had to cover a story where a mom and her son died in a flash flood.
Oh.
Their car got swept away, and we did the story that night. It was a rainy night. It was muddy. Everything was crazy. But on a news perspective, on the news side of things, it went really well. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, we set up the live van. We got the shot going on. Everything went well. So when we got back, everyone's like, hey, good job. And you realize what we were there for kind of got buried in the whole thing.
Oh.
But we had to do a follow-up a few days later, which was the funeral.
Yeah.
So I had to take my camera, and I'm new. I'm green at this, right? I'm maybe like 6 or 7 months in of doing this job. And I was told by the reporter, go inside the church and grab some shots.
Ooh.
I'm like, okay, you know. So I grab the camera. I'm walking in, and then somebody comes up and says, what are you doing here? You got to get out of here. This is blah, blah, blah. if I tell you I felt worse than gum on a shoe,
yeah,
I'd be lying to you because it was the most icky feeling I've ever had in my body.
I could believe that.
It was. I just felt gross. I felt like dirty. It didn't rub it right. And yeah. I hated it.
Yeah.
And so it took me. I mean, because you know, you're going from covering the kids, trip to the zoo. And then later on in the day, you're talking about a hit and run, where a mom loses her kid. It's that ups and downs of the emotions. And when you're watching reporters on TV and they're so sincere and so sad about the story, but in the next one they're like, "Hey, coming up next, we're gonna have this."
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it doesn't flow with me. I don't like that. So I quit. I end up quitting.
I've found generally when I'm watching the news, it's not the happy things that happen. People don't. I guess the mentality has always been you got to talk about the sensational things, the bad things, whatever's going on, because people don't want to know about the good stuff going on.
I don't know if people don't want to know that. I just think I disagree, actually. I think news comes and it's funneled from one big area and it gets funneled and separated to all the different cities. And because you notice a lot of the news will cover the same stories in different cities. So I think there's an agenda on the news and they perpetuate it with, the celebrity news we don't need to know about. When I was in L.A. in March, the ABC News out there, the local channel, would lead off with a Lindsay Lohan story. Lead off with that.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? This is news.
It's all tied to the almighty dollar, the sponsors promoting the shows. Don't you think that's why there's negativity
ratings.
In the news?
It's ratings. They need the ratings.
But the ratings drive sponsors' prices, too.
Sure.
More
ratings. Right, exactly.
So
is it a news show or is it an entertainment show? What is news? What can you define news? How is a school bus accident in Missouri affect my life here in Arizona?
Yeah.
How? Why should I know about that? Why is that? It's a fear. They put it in your head that this could happen here. And, oh, my, and I better not,
Well, I agree. It's unfortunate because the culture has adopted that. And I don't know what came first, the media shaping the culture shaping the news organizations. But it does. Everyone complains about it, but no one does anything about it in terms of negativity. It's all negative.
What are you going to do? What can you do? You're not pulling the strings. No one. You can. Yeah, I'll boycott that station, but it doesn't matter.
No,
some
I have an idea.
It's
like what you probably do and what we do. Breakthrough thinking. It's about breakthrough thinking. Positive sharing. Positive thoughts to get out of your own way, basically, and start to fulfill your purpose. Whatever that might be, and serving others with all your gifts and talents.
I love that.
Give me some knuckles.
That's what I want to be doing with myself, and there's no doubt about that. When you talk about news, news doesn't have to be all happy and cheerful and good news. It doesn't. News has to be – I would like to see more news surrounding what our government's doing, what our local government's doing. Things are going to be affecting me on the streets where I live. Yeah. That's news. I know it's boring. But I think if we shifted towards
that's applicable, though, to your life.
Get a balance.
Right. Yeah. You get a balance. Yeah,
fair and balanced. I know that station. I won't mention that station, though.
I want my money back from that station. But
really? They owe you money?
No. They owe me scruples that I lost watching the that's what they owe me.
That's a good one. Why
is
we
that
take
by Kellogg's?
Scruples? It's fortified.
No, that's a game. That's a board game. Isn't it? That's
scruples.
What
I think it is. Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes,
yes. Yes, it is. And anyway, we'll take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we'll continue this very lively discussion with Kevin Gassman, radio host of 106.7 FM every Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. This is exciting. I'm expecting some big shout outs on his show tonight. Anyway, we'll be right back.
At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. As I see Kevin and Mitch chatting away during my opening, I love my opening. I can't believe it. Kevin, how do you think we're doing? You're a pro at this.
I'm going to give you guys a... what, do we have a scale?
Out of 100.
Out of 100? I was going to give you out of 10.
Out of 100?
No. I was going to give you a scale out of 10.
Oh, okay. He can stay, right?
Let's move on.
This is great.
Put me on the spot, please.
So we've been talking, wow, so all sorts of topics. Where did we end up? Oh, yeah. We want to know how you arrived in Phoenix. So there you were doing certain shots in Texas. Meeting
this is my life. Yes.
The president, yes. And then finally...
So after TV, I had quit TV. I went in. I had a really embarrassing moment with the new program director of the TV station, and he was a military guy, very intimidating, very intimidating. And I was like shaking when I was talking to him. I was quitting, this is like one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened, like in a situation where I'm quitting this place. That I actually blew out a little like a bubble out of my nose. And it flew out, and it landed right on the table. And, like, there was no way I could have just gone on without, like, noticing it or acknowledging it, right? So I had to acknowledge
it. It was just sort of floating there and landed on his table?
It just flew out of my nose and landed right.
I've never seen that. How do you do that? Do you know how to do that?
You know, the first time I ever saw that was at a Kings game at the LA Forum, watching a hockey player coming off the ice and just close one nostril and just blow out the other one. Out it went.
Wow. Yeah. It's like one of those bubble blower things.
It was a bubble. Yeah.
How big of a bubble was it?
It wasn't really like a full bubble. It was like a bubble ball.
So what did he do?
You know, I don't think he really acknowledged it, but I was like,
but he saw it.
I think all I said was like, oh, that was nice, huh? Or something like that. And wiped it off. It was pretty gross.
Mitchell, get him some napkins, please.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. God, that reminds me of my first semester in college.
Really? You did the same thing?
No, I had a teacher that was my economics teacher.
She did it.
No, this was a he, but I think he was a comedian wannabe. And he starts in talking about supply and demand. He says, pick a subject, any subject, let's say nose drops. And then he said that I know that's kind of a drippy product. And I said, no, it's not. And
and
he threw his chalk at me.
Because you outdid him.
Oh, absolutely,
right,
I did.
Exactly.
So how did that story end then?
I quit. I mean, there wasn't really much of it the rest of it.
Did he say yes and clean up after that?
He didn't say anything about that. But it was I left there, and I was actually in – I was commuting from Las Cruces to El Paso. It's a 40-mile commute, 40 to 45 miles. And so I was doing that every day, but I didn't want to live in El Paso. I liked Las Cruces. I wanted to live there. And then a friend of mine who was in a band, an old roommate of mine, the lead singer, we were just hanging out, and he's like, yeah, I got to get up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm like, why? He's like – I'm the new morning guy on the radio station. I'm like, get out of here. We have a new radio station in town? It's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm there. I got to go there. So I went there literally the next day. Just started. The station had just hit the air. And as I get there, this gentleman was walking out of the building, and I'm walking in, and I say to him, I was like, excuse me, are you guys hiring today? Or are you guys hiring anybody? He goes, yeah, show up at midnight tonight. I'm like, all right. That's how I got into radio.
Really? Yep. You were the midnight guy?
I was the midnight to six guy.
You were the Midnight to six hours. What did you do? Playing music?
I watched a lot of Garfield and Friends at 3 o'clock in the morning. I watched a lot of cartoons.
That reminds me of the movie Private Parts with Howard Stearns.
Remember
he got some radio first time jobs, and they didn't audition him. They just said show up.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what happened. I mean they just said show up and. Before I know it, I was doing 7 to midnights, and then I got automated. The station went automated, and where I lost my job. And they said,
what do you mean automated? Oh, for the music.
The music automation, right. So they said, we're going to go automated. You're going to lose your job. I'm like, well, that's wonderful. But can you stay until we get it going? And I'm like, yeah, of course I'll stay.
But I mean, you know. You blew a bubble out of your nose, and they said to leave.
So that was it. You got to get out of here, man.
Wow. So you lost a job some computer.
Yeah, I lost a job to a computer, and I came out here to Arizona. I had a friend of mine who from New Mexico who had bought a house, and I had actually gone to L.A. first, and I was on unemployment for like 6 months, and I was waiting for my buddy out here in Phoenix to get his house ready to go so I can move in. And he calls me up. He's like, the house is ready. I'm like, oh, great. And then out in L.A., I had a buddy of mine who's a golfer right now. He was moving to Chicago, and so he calls me up. He's like, hey, and this is April 15th. Tax day.
Oh,
calls me up and he goes, hey, Gas, I'm moving to Chicago. And he knew I was moving to Phoenix. I was like, well, hang on, let me pack my car. I'll just follow you and I'll stop at Phoenix. And so I called my mom up at work. I was like, Mom, I'm moving to Phoenix. I'll call you when I get there. And so I came out here and for a couple of years. And by the way, I found out that wasn't the right thing to do with my mom and dad. It wasn't cool. I didn't do it on purpose and I feel bad about it, at least now. But that's what therapy's for. So
yours or theirs?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Both. So for a couple of years, I bartended at a Mexican restaurant out here, and I lived the life. I was loving life. I was making good money. I was going on trips, vacations, and loving it. But I was missing something.
But wait, what were you doing?
I was bartending.
Oh, bartending.
Yes. Yeah, I was bartending at a Mexican restaurant here in town.
One of my favorite movies.
Cocktail?
Yeah.
Really?
Tom Cruise, do you do that stuff? You throw the
flare?
Things?
No, I don't do that stuff, no.
Isn't that cool, though?
Yes, but it's, you know, not my thing.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it.
So you were a bartender, so having fun.
I bartended for 3 years, enjoying life. It was fun, but there was something missing. You know, I was radio before. I only did it for less than a year.
Yeah.
But I just knew this is what I wanted to do. And I ended up getting hooked up with another AM station here in town. And it took me a little while, but they ended up hiring me. And I was overnight board operator. And before I knew it, I was running the afternoon show. That was the number one show in town.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How fun.
Yeah, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Oh, that's a big – every day?
Every day, and I was the only man in the booth. I was the one man.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Don't you like it when there's more people in the booth, more interaction?
Yes and no. I mean, you're talking about like us talking in the booth?
No.
No, you're talking about on the other side of the glass.
No. Oh.
What are you talking?
You were the board op.
I was the board op, yes.
Oh, from 6 to whatever.
From 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., I was the only guy, the board operator, producer, answering phones.
Oh, I thought you were behind the mic.
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Behind the mic, like what we're doing right now?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I love having more people in.
Wow, so you got some good board op experience at this other station.
Yes.
And then when did you get the big break?
It
was called today.
The big break never happened.
He's still waiting.
No offense, yes. I mean, this is a big break. There's no doubt.
He's still waiting for the absolute best one, though.
Right, exactly. That's still coming. And that's just, I think, due to my own tenacity of sticking in with this business, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah, there's nothing
else. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
No, really.
I've gone through a lot of stages where I don't know what to do with myself because this is what I want to do. So I did little sports updates on the station, ended up doing my own hockey show on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m.
You do?
Yes, I did that. This is my first radio show. Then after that, I ended up having some personal issues, ended up quitting, and then I was kind of finding myself at different stations since then.
Wow, that's very, very exciting. I think you're a man with passion, that you know what you want.
Yes.
And nothing's going to stop you.
Nothing's going to stop me except for money.
No, nothing. I'm gonna.
No, nothing will stop me.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how. It's just, the thing is you know, what I do is, you know, where I'm at right now at 106.7 FM. It's a great opportunity. What I'm doing. It's a small station, of course. You know, not a lot of people know about it, but you know, it's still one of the things that it doesn't matter. I don't care if one person's listening or a million people. I like being on the microphone. I like playing music. I like talking and expressing my thoughts.
Well, I think today's your lucky day.
Oh, yeah?
This is putting you up on the map, right, Mr. Mitch?
He's I'm speechless. Going with you.
He's never speechless on that. No, you.
Let me go into my back pocket and pull out my speech.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a good one. Well, I think you have great talent. There's no doubt.
Thank you. I appreciate
it.
No,
you really do. Yeah. Yeah, right, Mitch? He has a great voice for radio. I have a great face for radio. Really, really. That's how it works.
I love doing it. You know, I grew up in L.A. listening to some of the best radio personalities. Never the morning guys. I wasn't a morning fan. I never listened to those crazy cats in the morning. It was the afternoon or evening guys that I really liked, that just were – they were so cool. You know,
yeah.
They were so cool.
Rick Dees?
And Mel – no.
No, not him.
He was a morning guy, no.
Oh, he's a morning guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mine was my I guess, inspiration.
Wolfman Jack.
Nope.
Oh.
It wasn't Wolfman Jack, no. It was Bob Coburn was his name.
Oh.
He runs a show called Rockline.
Oh.
And it was on KLOS for a long time. Now it's on somebody else.
How about Loveline?
No, never. Not really into those. Yeah.
Oh, I like that one.
Do you?
With Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
And Poor Man, but he got fired.
Poor Man got fired?
Yeah, Poor Man.
Did they need a new sidekick?
No, they got.
I would totally love to do that.
Who was that guy? Adam Carolla.
Whoever it was already knew about it.
Yeah. Right, right. Oh, yeah. Right. That doesn't get too far down the line before someone they know will fill the void.
Now, we were talking about how this all started, to see how you got to Phoenix, is why you have never been to Sedona.
Right. Good memory.
Because
I would have completely forgot about
that. Is that one of the signs of a good radio host?
Yes, it is. Well,
Sedona.
Going back to what you brought up earlier is a good sign of a radio host. There's no doubt about that. I have been guilty of not doing that. I've loved to go to Sedona. I know they have those vortexes. I'd love to check those out. Just the peaceful serenity of it all.
And the Jeep tours are real good, too.
Yeah, and you can negotiate, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, you could offer them different money.
Really?
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Everything's negotiable.
Do we have a seven-second delay?
Oh, too late.
We got the Jeep tour, pink Jeep tour on number one. Okay. No, but they are nice. I went on a Vortex Jeep tour, and this guy was an archaeologist.
Oh, yeah?
Looked like Indiana Jones. I didn't think I'd get back alive. But anyway, what happened was we went to all the four vortexes. Is that what you say? Vortexes? Yeah, I think so. And you stand there and you see if you can feel the energy, if you're in tune. Three of them, I couldn't feel anything. And then the fourth one, by Coffee Pot Mountain or whatever it's called, I felt something. Then I realized it was a rattlesnake. But I did.
Or the vodka.
Yeah, exactly. But I did feel something.
Did you?
Yeah, so it's worth going to see if you're in tune with what they call the energy.
I would love to. You know, I'm very open-minded to that. I'm very open to the energies. There's a lot of energy that we all have, and I think you know, a lot of us are either afraid to acknowledge it, recognize it, because it's there, whether it's positive energy or good energy.
Yeah.
You ever met somebody who's like so energetic that after they leave you get tired?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an energy that you know that's there. I mean, it's real.
Usually people say that about me. After I leave, they're tired. They're ready to like, oh God, don't come back. Now, how about Flagstaff? Have you been there?
Yes, I have. I actually done my radio show in Flagstaff.
Really?
Yeah.
You know how close you are to Sedona
I know.
Being in Flagstaff?
You drive right by it.
How about the Grand Canyon?
Nope.
No. How about Las Vegas walking from Caesar's Palace to downtown?
That's, I have checked off my bucket list.
At 3 in the morning.
Yes, that one's gone off the bucket list, yes.
Wow.
I know.
Do you have
crazy.
A bucket list?
No.
Oh, you don't?
I don't have a bucket list.
He finished it with that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let's take another break, and when we come back, we'll finish our last segment with Kevin Gassman. Yes, it's called Driving with Gas every Monday through Friday, 106.7 FM, 5 to 8 p.m. I can't wait to listen. I'm excited. Mitchell Spean is in the house, and we'll be right back.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
At Birenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac alongside Mr. Kevin Gassman. Hey, I could be your announcer.
Maybe you could.
There's your mic.
Yeah, maybe you could. I'm
Mr. Kevin Gassman. Okay, and Mitchell Spean, of course, in studio. We've been talking about everything, and I can't remember anything. But anyway, it was everything. Now, we were taking everyone back to Phoenix.
Yes.
Where you didn't go to Sedona. You've been to Flagstaff, not the Grand Canyon.
Nope. I've been to Wilcox.
Really? How about Jerome?
I haven't been to Jerome. I'd love to go to Jerome, to be honest with you.
Oh, they have a haunted house or something, I heard.
I would love to go to Jerome, yeah.
Wow.
I'd love to see that. I've been to Bisbee. On our station at 106.7 FM, I started up a Mesa Community College sports broadcast.
You did?
Yes. So I got a challenge. I got to go to Roswell, New Mexico, which was awesome.
Oh, did you see aliens?
No, I wish I did. Went to Eastern Arizona. I can't remember the name of that city,
Greer.
No, it wasn't Greer. No, it was further out there, I think. But we got to go to the basketball team, played out in Douglas, Arizona. So I got to really kind of, and Yuma, that was exciting.
Wow. So tell us about that. So on your station, you do some remotes?
Yes, I do live remotes at venues across the valley, across the Southwest, really. I was in San Diego in March. I used to do my show on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. once a month. I went out there.
You're kidding.
No, the Vegas, I did my show at the Palms Hotel at the beach.
How does that work?
At the pool, excuse me.
How do you do that? Do they set up a little deal, a cabana for you?
Well, they have cabanas already there, and so my show time was basically when the pool wasn't open. So they just said, which kind of stunk a little bit, you know, but they said, go ahead and just, you know, take that cabana right there and do your thing. So it was a blast.
So what time? It was like 5 in the morning?
No, 5 in the afternoon, 5 p.m. to 8.
Oh, they closed down?
I think they closed, like, I think maybe we got the last maybe 1 hour of the pool opening, and the rest
was
closed. Wow,
so do they have loudspeakers so people can hear the show?
No, it wasn't set up like that. It wasn't. We were kind of hiding in a cabana. I mean, it was a blast. I had a great time, you know, it's fun, you know. I love setting up anywhere I can go. Like I said, in Roswell, we broadcasted a football game from there. In Las Cruces, New Mexico, my old stomping ground, we went to a bar and did my show from there. Flagstaff, we did it at the Green Room up in Flagstaff, and just, you know, it's bringing on, you know, local talent from each city, and you know, the musicians from there, maybe the comedians, people who are have something to say, you know, that's the kind of overall view of what my show is. You know, it's a little bit of everything. You know, we're not just comedy, even though I do a little bit of comedy on the show. I call it the Comedy Pen. And I bring on comics for interviews, or I'll play comedy bits.
Oh, neat!
So, yes. Yeah.
So you're uplifting the spirits of everyone that listens.
What's the point of listening if you're not gonna put a smile on your face? I mean, yeah. If you want to get angry, listen to some other AM radio stations. Yeah. You know why? And why do I want to get angry?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole. You know, you talk about the energy of people. I mean, if you change that energy around, and where everyone's least look, it doesn't have to be goody two shoes and you know, ice cream and lollipops and stuff like that, but at least change the perspective of how we're approaching life in general. I mean, look, it's bad times right now. There's no doubt about it. So why should you want to live life negative? And you know, like I always see people in line of a grocery store or bank or whatever, and people are just miserable. For me, I don't look at it that way. I look at it as I'm there. Why should I make my time miserable?
Yeah.
It's my time. Yeah. I don't care about your time. It's my, I'm going to have fun. I don't care if you're not going to have fun. I'm going to try to have as much fun as I can, or at least enjoy it. And make fun out of it.
So you have a good attitude.
I try to, yeah.
I think, Mitch, that we should have Kevin run for public office. What do you say?
I'm trying to think what office it would be.
Okay, so what office would it be, Kevin, if you ran? Where would you think you would be most fit in, and how you can help most people?
I'll tell you, you know, I am the gas man, so maybe the Office of Transportation.
Yeah, yes.
Possibly.
That's a good one.
There's some pictures circling on the internet that will prevent me from being anywhere near offices of public work.
Really?
No, I don't know. Maybe. Oh. there might be somewhere. But, you know, not to say that it hasn't crossed my mind, but I don't know. You know, I mean,
Really? You really thought of this?
Maybe for like a half a second. I thought, wow.
But you did think of it.
Yes, I did. Yes, it has crossed my mind.
So what would be some of the policies? Let's say you were president of the United States.
Oh, if I was president.
Let's say you're running against Mitt Romney, and you weren't. You were just running. How would you approach it differently than the guy that wears the sweater?
Than sort of the Santorum, you mean? So like if I was a Republican going up against Romney?
Or anyone.
Well, I mean, I think Romney speaks for himself when he double talks himself every time he opens his mouth. I mean, that's just something that how can you not see that? That's the thing that bothers me with that.
Yeah, it's like, I can't
this guy
believe it
is
either.
So
yeah.
Obvious. He's obviously fake.
Yeah.
He's obviously telling you what you want to hear instead of what we need to hear.
Yeah.
And people still cheer at. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand that.
It's scary.
Mentality.
They're paid.
Well, they could be paid, right? I mean, you saw he had a press conference at the football field in Michigan. Where the Lions play, and they on the football field, I think like maybe 30 people showed up. But they had like
that's
seats.
It?
They had like seats for like 300 people. Oh. Like 30 people showed up. I mean, maybe it's the smoke and mirrors we see from the media that give him a little bit more clout than I think we're giving him. I think in general, people think, you know, he might be better than what we have in the office right now, which is whatever you think. I don't really care. But, you know, I mean, there's a good campaign slogan.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think.
Yeah. How about the best of Mitt Romney? What would be some of his your favorite phrases? Would it be that like Ann drives two Cadillacs? Would it be
The dog on the roof?
Yeah, yeah. Or he has a car elevator.
Car, you know, every time,
or he likes to fire people. Or what's there's so many of them. It really could be a hit list.
There can be, and
you
it's,
know, the best hits of Mitt Romney.
You know,
the more you talk, the more I've decided to vote for none of the above.
Yeah,
that'll be Monty Brewster.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking of.
That's the kind of policies I would like to run. I would like to give. Basically, what I would like to do is kind of just. There's a lot of common sense that's missing a lot in our government, and there's just a lot of impracticality, and the rules and the laws are just being just wasted, and there's people being put to jail for no reason. It's just there's just a lot that can be changed, and I think for the better, and we can really focus and put our monies and energies towards something more positive.
Yeah.
And I don't know even know why Arizona isn't even designated a state for solar panel. You know, like we should be
the leader,
the leader of solar panel. Why aren't we? Why aren't we of any of just weaning ourselves off the energy? That's the thing, is we're waiting for the well to dry before we figure out our new energy source.
We have a show called The Green Roundtable.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to promote, of course, all the green stuff. We've had some really good guests on The Green Roundtable.
Yeah, I like talking about that stuff. Sustainability, I mean, it's so important, you know. I think, you know, even the whole water thing, because it scares me to think that what if Phoenix is a city that has to get up and move because we're out of water?
Ooh, what would your house be worth?
It'd be nothing. Everything would lose its
value. It'd be a ghost town.
I mean, Vegas is facing that. LA is facing that. I mean, it's scary. I mean, how come we can't figure a way to solve it? You know, we have an ocean full of, you know.
Well, I know why.
Why?
Okay. I thought you'd never ask. Okay, the reason is I believe what's driving most of the world these days is greed and short-term thinking.
Yeah.
Don't you think,
that's
guys?
On the nose.
It's very sad, you know, to see that.
And you think if the money is going to be worth nothing and we're driving our economy to the grave, then if you're hoarding that money, then you're hoarding nothing.
Exactly.
So what's the point?
You can't take it with you.
Right, you can't take it with you. Although my great aunt did.
Really? How'd she do that? I want to see the movie.
How did she do that? She did it by on the deathbed with a private nurse. That's how she took the money with her.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, they went somewhere that no man's been before. Okay, that's Star Trek. Anyway, wow, can you believe we're at the end of the show? This is that was Mark and Mindy.
Yes, it was.
That was Robin Williams.
Robin
was
Williams,
there.
Yes.
So can you believe we're at the end of the show already?
Fastest hours. This is great. I love this.
We want to have you back.
Okay, I'd love to come back.
All right, we got a commitment. Get the contract out, Mitch.
Do I get an appearance fee?
Yes. That's the next show. Really? It's on at 4 o'clock after.
I'll just take a Starbucks drink. It's all, you know, it's all good.
They're very nice, by the way, out there. So you drink. What's your favorite drink?
I don't know. I like the green iced tea.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
I don't do the coffees anymore.
No, not the vanilla latte, 90% sugar-free, hold the milk and 90 degrees temperature.
Stay away from dairy.
Okay. Kevin Gassman, thank you so much. Listen to Kevin every day except the weekends, Monday through Friday, 106.7 FM. It's called Driving with Gas. I'm going to listen today.
Thank you.
And Mitchell Spean, always nice seeing you. We'll see you
tomorrow.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Who do we have?
Tomorrow we've got a person who's gone through the draft, actually.
Oh, this is going to be great.
An agent.
Oh, we're going to talk about the draft. Anyway, everyone have a great night. See everyone tomorrow for a special NFL event and the Green Roundtable tomorrow, 2 to 4. Have a great night. Thank you, Kevin.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. See you tomorrow.